found our first reading in our gospel today strangely connected. What I mean by that is Paul had left the community, and now he arrives in Jerusalem, and the scene is of which that he's at the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, and you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees that are questioning Paul. They're ready to finish Paul, like to sentence him to death. We're just right there in Jerusalem. But Paul's a smart guy. He's a little trickster. He understands that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees do believe in the resurrection. So Paul kind of just throws out there, "Hey, like, you know that I'm a Pharisee, and that's just saying that I believe in the resurrection." And Paul knew saying that, because he knew the Lord was being called to still go to Rome, and of course Rome is where Paul was martyred. So he throws that out there, and as soon as he throws that ball up in the air, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they take their eyes off of Paul, and they go on each other, and they just fight. There's a disagreement. The disagreement leads to a riot, to the point that things got so ugly in the Sanhedrin that somebody took Paul out of there because they thought Paul was going to get crushed. Not that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were going to crush Paul themselves, but Paul was just going to get crushed before he got sentenced to death by the fighting of the Pharisees and Sadducees with one another. Now keep in mind that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they entered the Sanhedrin with the same goal. They entered the Sanhedrin to sentence Paul, a fellow Jew, who is talking about Jesus, to sentence him to death. But because of the infighting, they probably didn't even know Paul was dragged out of the Sanhedrin. And so our gospel today, as we continue Jesus' farewell discourse, Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed. We get a glimpse again inside Jesus' heart. And in John chapter 17, we hear more of what Jesus' prayer is for his disciples, for his apostles, for his church, and that is that they may be one. And why does he pray that so passionately, if we read this over again, passionately prays that they be one? He gives the same reason two times. He repeats himself, that they also may be, that they may be one, that the world may believe that you sent me. And he says that two times in these six verses, that they are one so that they will believe, Father, that you sent me for them. Because Jesus knows that disunity is not attractive. Disunity is not compelling. The opposite. Disunity is discouraging. There's no doubt about it that as Jesus gives his apostles, he gives the church the mission to make disciples of all nations, that the mission of the church is the eyes of making disciples of all nations are off of that when there's disunity within the church. And when I say within the church, I mean both all Christian denominations. As we know, there's tens of thousands of Christian denominations now, entering into an era of the church now where even mainline Protestantism is in some ways taking a back seat to non-denominational churches. And our brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely. But there's a prayer of Jesus for unity for us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because it's discouraging for somebody who does not know Jesus to look within and say, okay, all these people are Christians, but look at the disunity amongst the Christians. Like, do I want to say yes to Jesus, his death and resurrection on the cross, when there's all this disunity? There's an odor, there's a bad smell of disunity that one just wants to go the other way. Disunity takes one's eyes off of the mission. And we know this within, not just within church, but politically. We see Republicans and Democrats with a mission of passing a stimulus package to help people in the midst of the coronavirus. And what did we see? We saw both sides like trying to put their agendas in. This coronavirus has become political. Making policies for health of people and what to do and what not has become political. So the mission of stopping or making the best policies to stop coronavirus has been hindered because of infighting and disunity. Disunity does not mean you can't have disagreements. Disagreements are normal, natural, and a good thing, because through disagreement you come to the best conclusion or the best path forward. But it's the infighting, the disunity, and we know this with families. Is Jesus' prayer here just limited to the church? No, it's also a prayer for unity amongst individuals, for families, for spouses. When there's not a united front between husband and wife, like the kids smell disunity in their parents. I remember, like, I have awesome parents, but I remember times growing up, not just them, you know, getting in a disagreement, but when they were fighting, me and the kids, like, we could smell when things stuck around of fighting with my parents. Like, it affected us. That's why divorce is such a tragedy. The mission for the family is to grow disciples in the family, to get their family, to get their spouse, to get their children, to grow disciples and get them to heaven. That mission, one's eyes are taken off of that when there's disunity. And that does not mean perfection, does not mean always blissful harmony between two people and within a family. No. But it means being a united front. You know, Father Don and I were recently talking about, you know, as we talk about the wider church of disunity in the church, it's also the case for parishes. When parishes are not a united front, when the staff is not a united front, when there's division in the staff, when there's division amongst the priests that live together at a certain parish, that is scandalous to the church. So, like, you know, Father Don and I, we joke with saying how we've been spending more time with one another during the lockdown, and we've been getting into maybe a little more squabbles. Yeah. And does, when that maybe persists, is there a temptation to take the eyes off the mission a little bit of making disciples here at the parish? Yeah, that happens. So what do we want to do? We want to come together and talk things out. Disunity is not helpful towards the mission. And Jesus knows this. That's why his prayer, that's why inside his heart it cries out. Any dynamic, teams, right now you got free agents, you know, whether it's in football or baseball season's going on right now, it doesn't seem like it. But when you've got a free agent that's looking for teams to go to, if they're just concerned with getting the biggest dollar amount, then yeah, they'll go to a team that's really toxic, a toxic clubhouse or a locker room, sure. But if they're smart, they'll take a little bit less money knowing that this clubhouse, there's an incredible amount of disunity in there, and we're not going to win a championship with that toxic locker room or clubhouse. Same thing with companies. The need for companies and organizations to become healthy, their staff to become healthy, because disunity has an awful smell. And a company cannot run full steam ahead to their mission when there's disunity. And so as we move towards Pentecost, and this prayer of Jesus in the gospel today is for his apostles, it's for his church, it's for us today. It's for our church today. It's for our politicians today. It's for our families today. It's for our marriages today, to be a united front, to be one. And so a question for us to ask ourselves today is, how am I contributing to the odor of disunity? I mean, of course, we can always look at other people. Oh man, look at what like what my spouse does towards disunity. Look at what my coworker contributes to disunity. Okay, but how do I contribute to the disunity? That's what I can control. To watch how I talk, do my words sow seeds of disunity? Or do my words sow seeds of unity? There's just too much at stake for infighting. There's too much at stake. Jesus draws us to the Trinitarian love between him, the Father, and the Spirit in the gospel today. And he's just yearning that people have that sort of unity so that others may see it and know that God sent his Son to a world that is hurt, to a world that is crying out, to a world that is searching for hope in the midst of despair and confusion and isolation. Let us be agents of unity and not disunity.